This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, we are back again to discuss pop culture happenings.
Yeah, look at it. We did it. It's been a long time.
We did it. I don't know when the last one of these we did was. Was it before I went on vacation?
Oh, yeah. Definitely before your vacation.
Oh, my gosh. So much to discuss.
I know. Oh, wow. Yeah. What a week. Should we start with the real heartbreak after last week's episode? I feel like we cursed this into existence. I don't know.
Wait, what?
And just like that, it's over.
Oh, yes. And just like that, it's canceled after I was so high on my horse about it.
We're like, this is high art. Nothing is wrong about this show. Everything is perfect. And it's excellent entertainment. And then literally the next day, they're like, okay, guys, so it's over.
Yeah, sorry, it's canceled. well, okay, so it's interesting what is going on with this. Because, yeah, they announced last week that the showrunner posted a thing on Instagram that was like, you know, when I was writing this episode, we decided that this was going to be the end of the series. HBO let us do 12 episodes this season instead of 10 episodes. We've known that this was going to be the end all along, but we wanted fans to sort of have fun with this season and not really think about it as like the final season until we got to the end point. I am slightly unconvinced. I don't.
Oh, like, interesting.
Well, I just feel like I don't know if that is the case. I think that this
is no bullshit.
Well, I think that, and just like that has never quite found its footing. I mean,
right.
Ironically, I think that them announcing this was the end produced a lot of people being like, wait, I sort of hated this show, but I didn't want it to go away. Like, I'm upset that it was canceled, which I think is an interesting development. But I think that they thought that HBO thought that this was going to be a big hit. The first season was admittedly a disaster. Like, even me who loves the show recognizes lots of problems with the first season. I think that the second season, they pivoted well, and a lot of the comments coming out of season two were like, oh, okay, season two was a lot better than season one. There was the whole Kim Cattrall cameo in season two, and I think that HBO was like, this is not doing the numbers that we thought it was going to. We're gonna give you a third season to sort of see if you can turn this around or not. And I wonder if they didn't sort of, if the writers and Sarah Jessica Parker didn't go into season three being like, okay, this very well could be our last season, so we need to write the finale as if this is our last season, but if this miraculously does really well, then, you know, we'll keep going and whatever, and that this season just like hasn't really taken off in the same way that they were hoping it would. I feel like it's gotten the same response as the first two seasons have, which is like not a lot of fans and a lot of people, you know, making fun of it for various things, even though they like it and watch it.
But like it does have the extended episode. So you think that they just gave them that as like a placeholder so in case it goes either way?
I think that they wrote this thinking that this could be the end, and you know, who knows if that's why they gave them the extra two episodes or not. But I think the reason why they did not announce this at the beginning of the season is because there was a possibility that it could get extended. I'm not sure I'm buying the whole like we just wanted fans to have fun to enjoy and it, you know, whatever. Because I think that HBO, at the very least, knows that had they marketed this as a final season, probably more people would have watched it and there would have been a lot more attention on it throughout this season. So I can't imagine HBO would pass up that opportunity if they had planned all along that this was going to be the last season.
Provocative. Because I was like, you know what? That's kind of clever. Like, I like the idea, because I hate when a show ends abruptly and, you know, they didn't wrap it up well. But I do feel like there's a lot of pressure on like a final season. And so if you go into it knowing you're like hypercritical in a way. So I was like, oh, maybe this is an interesting way to handle it, where the writers are given the space to actually craft a final season, but they don't have to like alert the press because it's like, who cares, right? It can just be canceled at the end of it. But
well, if they had announced that this was the final season, you know that there would have been a headline that are like, the final season, and they're spending it focusing on semen and her deodorant. Like, how dare they? Like, this should be how about the three original women, you know? I also think that we will be able to tell how much they thought this was the final season based on the last episode. Like, if this is the final episode that we're ever going to get in the Sex and the City universe, which I am still not convinced that it is, I think that we are getting cameos and, like, a lot of fun stuff in the final episode here.
What cameo is left, though, at this point? I feel like I've read about a lot of the, like, cameos. Random fan servicey returns of, like, I don't know. Wasn't there, like, a shoot? Yeah, and then there was, like, a mean, real... I don't know. I just feel like they've had a lot of cameos.
Yes, but I kind of feel like, you know, if it's the last episode, like, even a lot of those people should be coming back for something. Right. You know, it's like they need to end on some... That's why... Shows always good end nostalgia. On like weddings and stuff because then they can bring that's a really easy excuse to bring back lots of characters.
Yeah. I know you were looking forward to Carrie choosing herself for once to not be so centered on a man. And I mean, you get two episodes of that, right? Or did she hook up with the neighbor?
Well, she did hook up with the neighbor last episode, but he's leaving. And the hookup with the neighbor had the vibe of like, no, this really was like, she's turning over a new leaf. She appreciates that this is just a hookup. She's not like trying to fall in love with this person, which I thought was interesting. I mean, we shall see what happens in these last two episodes because Lord knows she will want
to. Do you want to pitch it? Okay, I'll pitch it. I think she's going to move back to her original apartment.
Yes.
And it'll probably end with the ladies on the floor eating takeout.
I think that if this is the final season, which I guess it is now, I sort of think that we're going to get some sort of Samantha something or another. I don't know whether she'll do another cameo or whether it will be like, you know, oh, she sends a text or whatnot. But I think we're getting something related to Samantha. Also, I think if this is the last season, this is the last season. I think that we have to get cameos from Jay Diaz and the law professor lady from the first two seasons of Inches Like That. Like, I don't see us ending without those. Also, I will say there has been a lot of talk about Michelle Obama throughout this episode or this season. I would not be shocked if we got a Michelle Obama cameo in the finale.
Okay, wait. I just got this idea. The show's going to end. She decides to go back to her loft, but they need to clear it out. So she gets invited to London for the summer. And so she's leaving to visit. That's where Samantha is.
That's where the Samantha thing is. Yeah. She's supposedly in London.
So she'll go be with Samantha and set up for a movie. Sex in the City 3 movie. Of the ladies in London.
Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker hate each other.
Do not like each other.
But I am also just like, you guys, figure this out. Like, be adults. And I do wonder if at the very least we would get some sort of And Just Like That movie at some point. Because, like, these characters are beloved. And I think that the fact that people have been so upset that the show has got canceled, like, give it 5 years and... I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, but maybe. Like, short-term memory loss.
We have seen so many things come back, like, beyond the point of exhaustion.
But Sarah Jessica Parker wrote that poem. She's crossed streets
she
and
did
avenues.
Write that crazy-ass Instagram post, which I was like, the girl is going through
she
it. Like, this is giving unwell.
Say goodbye, you know?
But, I mean, I understand it's a big deal for her. And really, like, it is her career. If you think about what else she's...
The Family Stone. Family Stone, number 2, coming out this year.
Dear Lord, I hate that movie. I don't need to see Family Stone again.
But I bet she's learned. I bet she's not as homophobic anymore.
We can only hope. We can only hope. Okay. But yes, that show shan't be coming back for another season, R.I.P. I wanted to check it. I feel like I really don't want to talk about the Sydney Sweeney jeans situation. Like, I understand that that is the number one story of the week, but I'm like so dull. Now she's secretly Republican.
I just don't know why we like dig ourselves into these holes, these trenches where it's just like not worth the fight. Like, it's like, yeah, anyways, we can talk about it.
I am sort of a little bit like, why would you register as a Republican? Like, voter registrations are public. Like, what are you doing, girl? But anyways.
You have a conspiracy. Maybe she did it so that she could vote in the primaries. Is that a rule in Florida?
I don't know. Okay. I want to talk about something else.
Oh.
Which,
okay.
Which is that Beyonce, another Jean-related issue. So Beyonce obviously is in a partnership with Levi's because she has the song on Cowboy Carter about Levi's jeans. And she's been doing these various advertisements. A teaser or a commercial trailer, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, came out today where she, at the beginning of the commercial, she is on a horse and she rides a horse to this bar, and then she's like gets out and, you know, walks around in her jeans, whatever, blah blah blah. And then when she leaves the bar, she gets on a motorcycle and drives off. And people are saying that this is like because she just finished the Cowboy Carter tour, so act two is seemingly done. Hopefully we'll get some sort of visuals from the, or like a concert movie from it, because that's what we got off Renaissance. But people are saying, oh, this is a hint to act three being this rock album that people are, you know, that everybody is sort of thinks is coming. And that the Harley Davidson is sort of like a rock reference. Also, I thought this was interesting. In the tour, there's a scene where she has these visuals where it's like her in lots of different costumes and makeups and stuff, and it like switches through them all really quickly, and somebody slowed down and, you know, looked at each picture individually, and there's a number of photos in there where she's dressed up like famous rock icons like Prince and Little Richard and people like that. So people are also like, okay, we think this rock album is coming. Which I think that is what's going to happen. I don't think that she's like trying to like hide anything or trick anybody. And I think that makes sense for what the third act of this trilogy is going to be. But I am excited for it nonetheless. And if she's following the timeline of Renaissance to Cowboy Carter, then we'll get the Cowboy Carter movie at some point this fall. And then next spring will be when the third album comes out. So
cute.
Just wanted to give everybody a Beyonce update.
That's great. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It feels, inevitable. And I did want to ask, do you think she means anything by the favoritism of the Vegas shows other than it was just the end? I saw some people salty because like she didn't really show up for Houston, her hometown. And the 4th of July show was kind of like whatever. But then Vegas, she trots out Destiny's Child and Shaboozy.
Does she have
favorites?
I don't think she does. I think with those tour appearances, like sometimes they do make sense, but sometimes they are random. And I think it's easy to think that Beyonce, because she's so like, all powerful, is plotting out like, okay, this day is like, I want all these people to come in Vegas. I honestly think that some of it is just, it was the last show and she wanted to end on a hurrah, but also like some of it is scheduling things. Like Michelle Williams has been on Broadway this entire time. She's still on Broadway now, but it's like, I don't necessarily like the fact that they weren't in Houston. I don't know if that says anything about Houston so much as it might just say things about some scheduling of these various people.
And who wants to go to Houston when you can go to Vegas?
Is Houston where the car tipped over too?
Yeah.
I think that's where that happened. So I don't know what's going on with
the curse.
Houston. I don't know. Because people were saying, in Renaissance, the last night, like nothing special happened. And so nobody was really like trying to book the last tour night for Cowboy Carter because they didn't think anything was going to happen. And then sure enough, did. Yeah. And I think it's just like after I've just gotten done talking about how like all of these things, I'm like, I don't think that Beyonce is playing the same like Easter eggy game necessarily as Taylor Swift is. Like, I think that sometimes she's just like, okay, yeah, this is like when we're booking things or whatever. It's not, she's not trying to signify anything by being like, oh, I secretly actually love Las Vegas the most. And my next act three is going to be a Vegas showgirl album. You know, it's like, no, I don't think that means anything. I also saw a lot of people being like, oh, what if act three is a Destiny's Child album? And that's the third thing. And I honestly think that it is very likely that we will get a new Destiny's Child album at some point. But I kind of almost think that that will be the thing that's after act three. Mm-hmm. Because I think that that will... So I think that these three albums are going to be really hard to follow up. And I think if you switch to Destiny's Child, it like relieves some of that pressure off of you. So I wonder if that might be something that's like coming after all of this is finished or something like that.
Hopefully at the Sphere. That's all we can ask for.
Do we want something at the Sphere? Has there been any
Everyone is loving this Backstreet Boys reunion, whatever, residency at the Sphere. Everybody's obsessed with it, I swear. I mean, women of a certain age, I should say.
I was going to say, not me. I was an NSYNC fan.
I know, me too. But no, I think everyone's like, wow, the Sphere's kind of cool.
I mean, I think the Sphere is kind of cool. Like, I don't think that was ever, like, up for debate, really. It's just very expensive and sort of a weird venue, and they haven't ever really, like, figured out what to use it for in a...
Well, now they know. A nostalgic sort of 90s style visual led boy bands and groups. So Backstreet Boys this month, JT, once he figures out his Lyme disease, they can organize a
NSYNC reunion. He has Lyme disease
now? Oh, yeah. No, did you see this? So he's been on tour, like throughout, you know, his world tour. Yeah. That was disrupted. Yeah, so there's been a bunch of videos of him kind of like phoning it in and not singing on the mic, or like literally at one point he puts the mic down and he just is kind of like shuffling on stage, like sort of dancing in a tired way. And it was sort of like this meme-y type of thing where people were like going and they kind of like that he's so checked out. But then it was also like, this is annoying that this man can't be bothered to put on his own show. And so he came out with a statement that was like, sorry to the fans if it seems like I haven't been myself. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease and I had the choice to either stay home and, you know, wallow in that or just try to keep going. And I wanted to bring the joy of music, but I just don't have the same energy level. So like, that's why.
I'm like, maybe you should have stayed home.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know if your magic of music is the same if you're not actually singing the music. But yeah, so that was hot off the presses. I think he just posted about it today after some bad videos of him really, really not trying hard. So maybe he'll be set up for a residency of... with a more group effort style residency of an NSYNC reunion.
Yes. Well, I mean, the one Backstreet Boys guy can't sing anymore, so it feels like we're well set up for something of that regard.
Yeah. So it's either Destiny's Child or NSYNC, and I would personally go for Destiny's Child, but we'll see.
Well, we could get a Christian group in there.
Yeah. You know who else would be good in the Sphere, I think, is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, your number one fan, but Ali and AJ.
They would be great ever. However, I will say this, as much as I love Ali and AJ, I don't think they're selling out the Sphere, unfortunately. No.
Well, it's like, kind of a small space, right? But I guess they're still in like...
I guess, but like... only type. Yeah, like I when I am going to see them, which I do have tickets to see them in October, I think.
Every year, I feel like.
I'm like, I shan't be... And one of them had a baby. They're really like working. Yeah. I love them, but they are not like... they're not playing the biggest venues.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Like, that's I'm like, fair. Where am I even seeing them at this time? Because I saw them at Hammerstein Ballroom, and I've seen them at Webster Hall a couple of times. The one time I did not see them was because they were opening for Ben Platt at at Madison Square Garden. And I said, you know what? As much as I would love to be there for my girls opening this, they're playing Terminal 5.
That's a baby venue.
I know. Cute. It's like a bar.
Lots of good times there.
The last time I was at Terminal 5, I was seeing Azalea Banks. So this will be a very different energy.
Wait, also, I wanted to ask, you saw Naked Gun. And yes. I've seen the promo for it. So do you think Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson are dating?
I do think and that do they you are stan?
Dating.
Oh, cute. I like them.
No, they're very cute.
I do stan. I really like Pamela Anderson. I think that she is incredible. Like, I love her as a person. I love everything she stands for. I've watched her documentary. Like, I think she's great. I want her to have nothing but success in this world and happiness. And I think that Liam Neeson also seems like a sweet person. And he really has not dated since his wife died. And they seem like a very cute, age-appropriate, nice couple. And I'm like, I am here for this. Like, this,
I know.
I think
but
I
it's like too perfect deal. Almost. It feels like PR. It feels too neat, you know?
I, again, am like, we are always talking about PR related, not
well, like a relationship. It doesn't have to mean they hate each other. It could just mean that they're because they haven't like outright said we're dating or been caught kissing or whatever. But they play it very coy, which could just be a way to market this movie.
I just don't know what like relationship that has existed in Hollywood we have come to later find out, oh, that was PR.
Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes.
That
1,000%.
That was okay. Yes, that was something. There was something going on there.
Ana de Armas and Ben or Brad.
That I think was real. Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yeah.
I'm like, I think that was COVID sort of delusion just, going on there.
Fever
but
dream.
I think that was real.
So I guess the question is real to you. Like, to me, there's layers. So you can have a real relationship, but it's still trotted out for a convenient press opportunity.
Well, I mean, I think that that is probably the case. But do I think that, like, they are just friends with each other? And the publicists were like, hey, if you guys could try to make everybody think that you're in a relationship.
Little just be a little flirty.
I don't think that that happens. I don't think, and I also think that they are too old to be doing that. Like, I don't think I don't think Liam Neeson gives like enough of an F to be like, yeah, I'll pretend that I'm in a fake relationship.
But they're not
the
like,
last relationship I was in was with my dead wife.
But that would be like I agree that he wouldn't be the one who's like, oh, caught on paparazzi going to dinner, holding hands, were they snuggling? But I'm saying there's a universe in which being flirty sells movie tickets and also not explicitly saying whether or not you're dating is a way to drum up interest. And so I don't think it's delusional to think that's not a strategy. That's not even like, do this or you lose $1 million. Like, it doesn't have to be nefarious, but it's like, yeah, I like friendly, flirty co-stars is a thing that works.
I think that they are dating. I think Pamela Anderson has been dragged through the mud for public relationships in the past. And it's like, I don't want to say anything about this relationship, like in a public way, but has to be promoting this movie with the guy who she is in a relationship with.
Passion.
And so that's why they are being, you know, sort of coy. I think if they weren't dating, they would say they weren't dating. I don't think that they would be like sort of leading people on. Like, I just, if you were talking about like, if you were talking about like the cast members of like I Know What You Did Last Summer or whatever, like, sure. I think that they are very capable of like, you know, pulling something
There's
off.
There's an ageist element.
I just don't, like, Liam Neeson does not seem like somebody who is putting up with much shenanigans, especially when all of the conversations regarding Pamela Anderson all involve his ex-wife who died. Like, yeah. It just seems like a little bit too serious to me for them to, like, be... playing coy about it. I think if he wasn't dating her and people were like, oh, are you dating Pamela Anderson? He'd be like, no, we're just friends. Like, am not with anybody. I haven't dated anybody since my wife died, you know.
Have you pitched a cover story on Pamela and Liam to Parade?
You want to hear something interesting?
Oh, okay.
Hot goss here.
Yes.
We were pitched a cover story with Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson back in the spring. And my boss turned it down because he said it was too movie focused and not like, and he likes cover stories that are more, you know, like relationship-y focused. Little did he know that this would be the biggest story and that we would have had like the best cover
exactly
in the world.
I know exactly how he feels, because one time I was like, we have to cover this movie. It's so culturally relevant. And I had a coworker who was like, no, we're going to talk about this more important story. And that turned out to be The Goldfinch versus Hustlers.
And I think that if we look back on history, The Goldfinch is, you know, a lot of people really still care about that. It's a very resonant film.
That is crazy, though. Have you brought it up to, has anyone brought it up to your
mom?
No,
he was on vacation, and that also I'm so sort funny. Of like, I,
no need to.
Right. I'm like, and also he's the type of person who I think would like stand by his decision.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. I don't think he would give me the benefit of the doubt and say like, oh, I know, like, I wish that we had gotten, he'd be like, no, that was actually a fantastic
he's like,
decision
this
that we decided.
This is a PR relationship, Matt. I'm not falling for it.
Ugh.
Amazing.
But no, I do love them. And I guess to get us into Love It or Hate It, I saw The Naked Gun and I really like The Naked Gun. I'm like,
yeah. Were you a target audience? Were you like a Naked Gun fan?
I've never seen the originals.
Oh my gosh.
So
cute.
I'm not like, I wouldn't say that is necessarily like my sense of humor either. Like, I feel like I like stuff that's a little bit more dry and like,
more Adam Sandler type, yeah.
I feel like the comedies that I think are the most funny are like ones that involve a lot of hijinks.
Yeah.
And this is more just like dumb humor. But it was so refreshing to watch because I feel like it is not a type of humor that we get very often.
Yeah,
in movies.
It's very old school. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really loved it. And I was really, and I'm really excited that it's doing so well and that people seem to be really liking this movie because I think it does sort of unlock another brand of humor that we might get.
Just remakes of Airplane coming your way. What's the Christmas one? The family.
Like National Lampoon Vacation or whatever.
That's what we're going to get now going forward. Well, I've heard good things about Naked Gun too. I was one of the haters. That's definitely not my brand. I don't know if I'll see this, but it was cute to see.
It's under 90 minutes, I'll say, if that is tempting to you at all.
Yeah.
At the very least, you could watch it when it hits streaming.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I probably won't go out of my way, but I do like Liam Neeson, like not as a person. I don't know him as a person, but like he seems like a cool, chill guy. I like his projects.
The Pamela Anderson's a front because it's actually you and him all along.
It's an age inappropriate affair, but I have to speak my truth. I do enjoy his energy and his kind of weirdness and everyone's like, yeah, he's always a straight guy and he plays the straight guy in this, but I think he always has had sort of a funny edge, so it's cute that he gets to play with that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were always saying, Schindler's List, he's such...
Yeah.
There's a funny edge.
Remember how he wrestled those wolves? Edge. Like, that was comedy. That
not,
he did it.
Not the gray. Not the gray. What the worst movie that was ever
that
made.
That is absolutely not the worst movie.
I hated that movie.
I know.
Where he duct tapes, like,
He had to make it work. He was being stalked by ferocious wolves.
By wolves.
I now know God how to survive a traumatic airplane crash in the Alaskan wilderness, thanks to
but
him.
But he doesn't survive. He dies.
Oh, I'm a believer.
Hallucinating his wife's hair.
I'm a believer. I think he beat the wolf. He might have a struggle recovering from the fight itself, but I think he won the battle. At least.
Okay, what's your love it or hate it?
Oh, okay. I don't remember if I've talked about it, but The Gilded Age. Oh. I binge watched it over the last couple weeks. I don't know. But
I haven't watched it, but I need to. I know I'll love it.
Well, that's what everyone says. It's like I honestly didn't know much about it. Like I knew it was like this, you know, Gilded Age era drama from the creators of Downton Abbey. So I kind of like expected more of that, but it's pretty low key. Like it's pretty, you know, parlor politics. Not much is happening, at least in the first two seasons. But they're in the third season now. It's the penultimate episode that just came out. So they have one more. And it's like, oh, this is a totally different show now. Like there's a lot of action. And I don't know if that's only because I so recently watched season one and two, where it was like, oh, what am I going to wear to the opera? And now it's like death and scandal and physical threats. And it's just like, wow, they're upping the ante a little bit. And I'm grateful. I think it's now hit its stride. So that probably means that tomorrow they're going to announce that it's been canceled and this is the final season. And I'll be sad. But yeah, so
I've heard
so
a lot
good.
Of good things about it, and I feel like I would love it. Yeah, it's from the people who did Downton Abbey. I also saw a tweet that was like, a lot of the people on the Gilded Age seem desperate destined to die on the Titanic, and Downton Abbey begins with the Titanic sinking. Like that's the action of the first episode, and so there was someone was it's like it's all in the same universe. Like the people from the Gilded Age are gonna die on Titanic with the cousin from Downton Abbey who's supposed to inherit the house who doesn't.
What if one of them has a cameo in the new Downton movie? Wouldn't that be cute?
I've seen the new Downton movie. Oh. And I don't believe that anybody from the Gilded Age has a cameo in it. But also that wouldn't really fit the timeline because the Downton Abbey movie would be like 40 years after Gilded Age.
They've had quite a few times.
Yeah. Because Downton Abbey starts in, like, what, 1904, or whenever the Titanic sank? And I think that the movie's in, like, the 1930. So,
yeah, it's 1912.
That's when the Titanic sank?
I thought.
I don't know. we can't wait. Okay, whatever. Dates.
Yeah. Anyways, major. Yeah, lots of interesting old American accents. And not anyone is really great. I mean, Carrie Coon aside. So it's kind of like, but I guess that's true of Downton too, is there's just kind of like, it's like soapy in a way, but without the usual drama.
Oh yeah, there's like not really that much of a plot, you know, but it's like, it's fun. It's very comforting, I think.
Yeah, no, it's very low stakes. So that was nice, is that it's not like, you know, Buccaneers or like freaking Bridgerton. It's not about anything salacious. It's really mild. But that feels nice sometimes in this day.
I can't believe you're watching Buccaneers.
I'm not. It's just on. On my socials all the time. I think it's like if you like Buccaneers, I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think so. My little AI robot telling me, feeding my algorithm, I do not get the same vibe.
This is why I need to get off Twitter, but I'm not going to get off Twitter. But I keep getting ads like from Israel. Like pro Israel, like at Israel, like promoted propaganda content.
Yeah, join the AIF.
It's not even like come visit this beach. It's like the Palestinians are lying. Here's the real information. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, they've got part, like,
what have I clicked on that is. It's like making these ads targeted towards me when I'm clearly not like the target demographic for this, or I'm like, is just everybody getting these ads?
Yeah,
like
not me.
Israel just spent, well, because you're not on Twitter.
This is on Twitter or on Threads? Because if it's Twitter, that makes sense.
This is Twitter. No, this is Twitter. Yes. No, not Threads. I'm not on Threads.
Oh, you're not? I thought you were.
I got a Threads like right when it started, and then I was like, wait, nobody I like is on Threads. Mm. So What does that say about you?
That your people are on Twitter.
Yikes. Well, this, you know, whatever. Okay. We need to move on. Thanks everybody for listening. We are going to be back on Thursday with our top 10s of the year so far, which is always a fun exercise of picking your top 10 favorite movies out of a bunch of movies that probably will never be in your top 10 at the end of the year. So
looking forward to it.
Exciting stuff, but we'll be back Thursday. See you then. Bye.